OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. The OTB Podcast Network.
It's a very unusual situation, David, where we haven't scored many goals in the entire period that Stephen Kenny has been manager. The team has yet to win a game, and yet there's still some positivity around. I don't remember the Irish fan base being as conflicted about what's going on. How do you feel, apart from the analysis, how do you actually feel when you're watching this Ireland team?
Last night, I think I was frustrated watching the game, in the sense that they're doing all the right stuff, all the stuff that Stephen has spoken about. I think that's the first, you know, the first thing that's evident is that Stephen has come and he's tried to change things. And I think the players have really bought into it. That was the first thing I've noticed, that they're continually trying to play out from the back. Even after the mistake for the goal, they continually try to pass out. It's just tough because you're watching them and lads are getting great opportunities. You just want someone to put the ball in the back of the net. And I think that's probably been the most frustrating thing in the games. See, we'd be having a totally different conversation if, you know, we weren't creating chances, and then we'd be talking about how is Stephen going to get the team to create chances, but we are creating chances and we're creating good chances, but we're just not taking them. And that is the, you know, the tough part. If you looked at any player who spoke, you know, in any press conference or Zoom call in the, you know, before any of the games, after the games, they've all spoken about we need to find a way. I think, you know, Ronan Curtis had a great chance. I felt he probably should have scored being that close. I think that's kind of, you know, Matt Doherty's a great header. Ennis Stevens, I think, is probably the one chance he doesn't know a lot about. He just tries to direct the ball on goal. But we just need to find a way to score. And that is the hardest thing. And if you look at all teams that have played, we've always probably had someone to, you know, chip along and pop in with a goal. But like for Stephen in the, you know, the five games he's been in charge, it's only Shane Duffy who scored, and that they have to rectify that. Because the other stuff is good. Look, it's been positive. There's been a lot of good, you know, play. We've kept hold of the ball. It's what people have wanted. They've wanted to play a more attractive style of football. The lads have really done that. Stephen has brought that in. But it was quite interesting listening to Richie Dunn last night with Joe, like, talking about, yes, people are optimistic, but we are, unfortunately, in a results business, and it can't just all be, we can't lose sight of, we're trying to qualify for major tournaments. That's what Stephen is there for. And yes, there are positive signs, but we need to find a way to find a balance so that we can go and we can win games and, you know, win them in the style that we're playing. So we need to really, lads have got to take it upon themselves to start taking these chances.
What did you think of, look, Richard Dunn and Robbie Keane are very good friends. They grew up together. They've played football together for a long period of time. So, of course, he's going to talk about one of his mates not being in the backroom team. But notwithstanding that, is there some merit in asking Robbie to rejoin the backroom team? Stephen Kenny was very clear, this is my backroom team and I'm in charge. And Robbie had kind of been shoehorned on him because he'd signed a deal. Like, all sorts of shenanigans going on. The champagne football era of Irish football. Does Richard Dunn have a point, though, that somebody like Robbie Keane might help the strikers, or is that just too simplistic?
Of course Robbie Keane would help the strikers. There's no doubt in that. I'm going off, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think Robbie's 146 caps and 67 goals. Of course he's going to, you know, Robbie scored over 100 Premier League goals. He's going to help any young striker or attacker, you know, he's going to make them better. He's going to help them with, the, like, whether it be their movement, their finishing, anything, of course. But at the same time, Robbie was in with Mick and Terry O'Connor and that, and then Stephen came in and he's looking to do things his way. So you have to see it that, look, he came in and said, this is my backroom staff. These are the people I want to work with. And Robbie wasn't a part of that. I think Robbie knows that. Robbie understands that. Look, he's been involved in football his entire life. He'll understand that. Of course, look, he'll be frustrated because he wants to be in and around the squad. He'd want to be there. He probably loved being back. Yes, he would help them. But at the same time, Stephen made the decision that this is my backroom staff. This is the way I want to go. You've got to respect that too.
Yeah, okay, so that's fair enough. And look, he obviously, we didn't have an amazing record of scoring goals when he was with the team anyway, and probably he needs to go off and get some experience of being the number one, because it looks like that's the direction he wants to go. Apart from the attacking part of it, the goal that we conceded, what are the ramifications when a team makes a mistake like that? Like, I know everybody is it's a team and you live and die as a team and all that stuff is true, but at the same time, it's hard not to, when things aren't going right, it's hard not to apportion blame.
Of course, but it's always one of those. Everyone is quick to point out, you know, Darren Randolph has made the mistake of, he's tried to pass the ball out and it's been cut out by Pukki. If you look at it, right, the manager is encouraging them to play out from the back. You look at probably the one who did it the most in the Premier League were Man City with, you know, Pep Guardiola. He encouraged it. It's obvious that Steven is saying this to the lads, like, we want you to play out. They're probably going through different ways of playing out of what we can do. It's going to happen, unfortunately. It was just, there wasn't enough weight on the pass. It doesn't get to Matt tries to, you know, Pukki cuts it. They get very, very lucky in the sense that, you know, Darryl O'Shea is in a good position, but he just gets unfortunate. The ball comes back to him. There's nothing he can really do about it. It's just, it's obviously these are things that Stephen wants. And you kind of hope, rather than pointing fingers and blaming people, that you learn from it, that it doesn't happen again. And that's the big thing you've got to take from it, because, you know, Finland had a couple of chances. There's no doubt in that, but nothing really clear-cut. I know the one Pukki down the side is, but I think if he puts it on target, I think, you know, Duffy has a cover with, you know, the way he's sliding. But these are the things that Stephen wants. He wants the lads to play out from the back, so you're going to have to take risks. Like, Randolph has put the ball down. He's tried to play quickly. He's tried to get us going on the attack, and it just gets cut out, and it's unfortunate. But that is part and parcel of the game as well.
Would you rather play in the Ireland team the way it's playing now than the Ireland team that you played in?
That's nearly a rhetorical question, in the sense that because I played in one team and I've not played in this team. So I don't know. I can only judge off my own experience of playing, say, under Martin and playing with the lads I played with. Like, yes, I've played with a good chunk of that squad, but I've never worked with Stephen. You know, there's a lot of new boys and young lads in the squad, so it's very hard to compare. It's like, you know, it's a tough question. I'd love to play in this team, of course, because I love playing for my country.
The style, it's something different. The style, like, you know.
Of course, but at the same time, as much as people are quick to say, going back, look, I was in and around Martin's squad for the entire time. Like, there was never a case of Martin was screaming, lump the ball long. I've said this numerous times. Like, Martin wanted us getting the ball in play. That there has to be some responsibility on the players. And I think it's probably fair to say that Stephen has demanded that they do it more than probably Martin did. But it was never a case of, you know, lump the ball long. You know, it wasn't, that was the thing. I think Stephen has probably overemphasized playing more and more, and it's certainly a demand of his that if you want to be in my starting 11 and you want to be playing, you have to go and get on the ball. You have to go and pass it. We have to keep hold of the ball, you know? But,
and the players respond to that demand, do you think? They enjoy that?
Of course, look, they have. Yeah. It's a new challenge. You've got to relish it. You've got to, these are the requirements. A lot of these players, you know, I often look back, I remember sitting there with my dad talking about it. The players we had, certainly in my time, even though it's not that long ago, we were all playing in clubs that never really dominated possession. And I think now football has probably evolved in the last 5-6 years that teams are now trying to constantly control the ball, and they're trying to, look, it's tough for the lads who are playing the Premier League if you play against your Liverpool, Man City, Manchester United, Chelsea, Arsenal, those teams that do keep more of the ball than you, but like a lot of these players now are playing in teams that are trying to keep the ball more and more. So it becomes like, I played with Hull, you know, in the Premier League or whatever. We didn't dominate possession. So when I went away with Ireland, it was almost straightforward enough for me that the team I played in didn't dominate possession. I knew what I had to do, and I nearly transformed that into my Irish performance, is that it would have been something totally different if I had gone from playing with Hull week in, week out to then going away with Ireland and having to dominate the ball. It would have been a challenge. for me. But at the same time, it's something that I would have enjoyed and something that I would have relished. But going back to your original question, it's very hard because I've not played with this team. I've not worked with Steven. I don't know. Of course, I would have loved to do it, but it's not a case that I would pick one over the other because I've never experienced it.
Fair enough.
On our attack, David, like it has been encouraging. There's no question about it. And the chance creation has been much better than we're used to seeing in recent times. But just to challenge that a little bit, like, can our chance creation get better again in terms of the quality of the chances? And like, you think about the best chances Ireland have had over the last week or so, like they fall into a central midfielder, that they fall into people coming off the bench. Like, you look at Teemu Pukki last night, and he's the one who's getting the best opportunities for Finland. I just wonder if our attackers are not the ones at the moment who are actually getting those chances. It is the players outside of those attacking positions who are getting into those positions. Is that something that is a big thing for Stephen Kenny to work on over the next little while, to see how Aaron Connolly, for example, isn't just having these semi-chances and having efforts from outside the box, but he's actually the one in, say, Conor Howarth's position last Thursday night right in front of goal?
That's very difficult, because when you analyse it, it's usually... Like, if you look at, like, the Slovakia game, you're talking about Connor's chances and Alan Brown's chances. That starts from, the majority of that work started from David McGoldrick, you know, picking up the ball, dropping in, linking the play well. Andy Stevens breaks forward, you know, plays it out to Alan Brown, who then has the shot. It's stuff, when your forward players are moving well and they're, like, they're causing problems with their runs, etc., then it frees up space for other players to go into. It's, I'd say, probably looking on it, can we get midfielders to break lines more? I think if you looked at the Slovakia game, Alan Brown did that very well, in the sense that he was going beyond people. I think David McGoldrick is massively key to what Ireland do and the way he plays, linking up the play. It is, we do play differently without him. It's the movement that if we can get that right at times, that if players are, you know, moving and then we're not static, then it creates space for other players. It causes the defence problems. At times, probably last night, we were a bit flat in our runs and our movement, in the sense that a lot of those lads had played, you know, the other two games. And you look at Aaron, say, had his unfortunate COVID stuff where he's ruled out and then he goes home and then he's back. And like, there was a lot in it, in the sense of like the travelling some of the players had done. The lads then, like Jeff, had played 120 minutes, had played probably 70 minutes against Wales. And then, you know, to go back out and try and reproduce, you know, a level of performance, it is tough. But it's more the signs that I wouldn't be discouraged that we're creating chances. Yes, you're talking about chances popping to Connor, but I think Connor would be the first to admit that he should have scored that chance. It was a great opportunity for him. I wouldn't look at it like that. I would still be happy that we're creating chances. It's not a case of lads aren't. Yes, you would ideally want your main striker getting that chance, of course. But at the same time, we are creating them. So I wouldn't look at it. I think if you do get an opportunity, whether it be the left back, right back, midfielder or winger striker, you've got to take those chances. And that's the hardest thing to do in football, is to score a goal. So I think everyone probably needs to pull their weight a little bit to get into those positions, start scoring goals.
And also the work rate of that front three is off the charts as well. Darrell Horgan putting in an unbelievable shift last night. You mentioned McGoldrick last Thursday, that maybe our concerns are directed in the wrong place, that the next Robbie Keane, who is that going to be, is probably the wrong question, that those forwards actually have quite a different role here, and there is far more of a responsibility on the front six as a whole, rather than our number nine, to rack up all these goals.
Well, the front three, you look at last night, they're the first defensive line. They're the ones that, when Finland are playing out, they're the ones who are going to press. You know, they're the ones putting in the shift. I think, you know, you looked at Darrell Horgan, the amount of work he did up and down the line last night. You know, he got an opportunity in an important game, and he left it all up on the pitch. You know, he worked his socks off. He did everything he was asked of him. You look at, like, any time we wanted to press a go after team, it started with those three of Shawnee, Aaron, and Darrell. And it's a catch 22, because you're putting in so much work off the ball that then when you do turn over possession, you are that slight bit tired. in the sense of like then your decision making. There was a couple of occasions with Aaron, probably ended up taking, you know, the wrong choice. If you looked at his interview after the game, he was very harsh on himself. He almost kind of blamed himself for Ireland losing. But at the same time, if he can just tweak that, because Stephen has a fantastic young player there, there was a great opportunity. He could have pulled it to Darren Horgan, who's in the middle of the goal. It's those small little details that we start getting right, then we give the player in a better position a chance to score, and we will score. I have no doubt in that, but it is tough because we don't have a Robbie Keane. That is part and parcel of it. Look, Robbie would probably never be replaced. What he's achieved with Ireland, nobody will ever go on to do and score that amount of goals. I don't know what he is in the all-time European international goal scorers, but he's certainly high up on the list, and that's a testament to the type of player and, you know, he was. But can we get someone to get enough goals? Just not Robbie's level, but someone to get on that wave.
How much patience do you think players who have played international football, like yourself and Richard Dunne, will have? So Richard, as we started this conversation off, you were saying, you know, interesting to hear Richard talking about, we can't allow this to become a pattern, we can't accept defeats. Mm. There's no future in international football for that. So when do you need to see the turn happening before everybody starts going, look, it's only 5 games in, but it's still 5 games now.
Yeah, it was. Look, like Richie's vastly experienced. Played in the Premier League hundreds of times. Someone I greatly admire and respect. And it was interesting to hear him, the way he put it across. Like, he is right in the sense that, yes, there has been a lot of positives from these games in the way, you know, our possession stats, the way we've knocked the ball around, etc. But we're in it to win. We want to be getting to major tournaments. I think we've got the 2 games next month in the sense that, you know, we've got Wales and Bulgaria again. I think we have to be looking at getting positive results, scoring goals, and then I think it leads into the World Cup thing. That is then Stephen will have had 3 camps that everybody will be 100% aware. Like, you've got to also factor in, he's probably had to deal with something that no other manager has dealt with in the past. That if you look through the list of players, the ones who picked up knocks or injuries with McGoldrick, James McCarthy, James Coleman, and then losing John Egan, Alan Brown, Callum O'Dowd, Callum Robinson. Do you know?
Yeah.
Nobody's ever had to deal with that. And that is tough. You know, you bring in 5, 6 under-21 players. I thought Darrell Shea, you know, did very well. Didn't really put a foot wrong. I think he set the tone for himself in the first minute with that storming header. He just cleared his man out. But then you look at a debut for Jason Knight. You know, Ronan Curtis coming back. Even the smallest thing of like Shawnee Maguire and Darren Horgan starting, in the sense that they weren't initially in the main 23 squad, that they kind of get an opportunity. And, you know, Stephen touched on how well they had trained all week. So there are other factors. I think he's certainly getting a better idea of his squad. So I think, like, going into the next camp, we have to look at getting a positive result to build on, because it can't just be all about performances and drawing games, and, you know, we have to find a balance.
Yeah.
And it is tough. It is tough.
100%. David, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.